Okay, a caller says, how can you give PJ so much airtime? They don't believe what he's saying. There's a lot of questions out there and it's just trying to get them answered, put the questions to him. And it's up to people to make up their minds now. I'm not a judge or a jury. I can only sort of interview people and ask the questions that seem to be being asked out there and give the person an opportunity to answer them. And after that, the people themselves are fit to make up their own mind. Greg, you should confirm that landlords do receive €800 tax-free payments for leasing properties to Ukrainian refugees, regardless of any extra money the Ukrainian family have. This is the ARP program. Please confirm to your listeners. So you're saying, just to be clear and get back in touch with us, you're saying that in the private rental market, there's an additional €800 payment that a landlord would receive from a Ukrainian family that they would not receive from an Irish family, so to speak. Is that what you're saying? Just to be clear, and that's something that I can inquire about. That's why I was asking, and I asked the question quite directly, is there are there any groups of individuals that have a competitive advantage? A caller says, as the government is presently paying a high price for Ukrainian accommodation, of course the Ukrainians will be able to pay this higher price because it's the government who will be paying. The ordinary Irish people will not have the means to pay or compete with the never-ending pot for the Ukrainian accommodation. In fairness, these houses should be purchased for social housing for our own homeless. Now, my understanding is the government doesn't pay for private accommodation for families, individuals in this situation. Again, if someone can tell me how that's is the case, please let me know. But in the private rental sector, I was under the impression that they had to fund that themselves. There are, unless we're mixing things up, there is a scheme whereby you can rent your house for €800 a month. Can you also receive rent on top of that? You have to be approved by the council to do that. But this caller seems to be suggesting that Ukrainians in the private rental market, not hotels and what have you, like a family or an individual, that the government pays their rent in a private house for them. Let me know if that is the case. It's not something I was aware of. A mixture of comments obviously coming in. I thought the new rules were that anybody coming out or into work in the hospital can't wear their scrubs. I've noticed a few people doing their shopping still in their scrubs. It's most unhygienic. You don't know what you're taking out of the hospital, never mind bringing in. COVID is still rampant. They could be carers as well, not necessarily from the hospital. The traffic lights from Killygordon to the Cross are not working. Please be careful, motorist, says another listener. Are any of the people complaining about the minimum wage increase actually living on the minimum wage? The cost of living has gone through the roof, so wages are worth far less in real terms than they used to be. Businesses want employees to work for unsustainable wages to keep their profits up. But some businesses are saying they don't have the space within their profits to pay this. Now, as I say, I only give information. People make up your own minds. They're saying, we can't pay your increase in minimum wage, so we're going to have to cut your hours. So you're getting the same money, but you're doing less hours, or some of them are closing their businesses during the week or for lunch or what have you, some closing their businesses altogether. But I don't think it all comes down to the minimum wage either. I think there are many factors involved in this. Moyle Primary School in Manor Cunningham hasn't opened at all this week. They haven't any electricity. Should schools not be given priority? They get some homework yesterday, but that was it. Are any other schools still closed? I can think of one other one, I think, that is still closed. We've no water since Monday in the Dubala, Listillion, Letterkenny area. We were contacted to say that there are waterworks in the area. Ishka Aaron says that no work is going on in our area. There's no notice or explanation for it. Has anyone else been affected? I'll check to see if there's any notifications on their socials. Could Ireland leave the EU at any time, or are they indebted to the EU that they have to stay? Well, there's Brexit packages that Britain had to pay. There was money that they had to pay. I'm not quite sure. We are net contributors to Europe now. I don't know if that would work in our favour in that situation. You know, for years we would have received money, more money than we put into Europe. Now we put more money into Europe than we get out. Does that mean our debt's paid? I don't know. It's a question I haven't seen asked or answered before. Two out of the 17 are Irish. That's great. That man, the same as the rest of landlords in this country. He's saying, but the other 15 are empty. So he's saying the two that were rented out so far, I'm not sure if they're two of the 17, but two that have been rented out so far have been rented out to Irish families. The other properties are vacant. Hi, Greg. Now, see, the problem too is I just have to be clear on this because people go, you won't say this and you won't say that. There are certain things contained in text messages that I simply can't say, right? Because I would be liable and the station would be liable to be sued to say it. Now, I could go on Facebook and say it. I can go on Twitter and say it, or X. I could say it to people in the street. But there are certain things that I can't state on the radio. So someone is suggesting that the reason sometimes that people pull out of deals with the council is because there's more money in providing asylum seeker accommodation. I was told by PJ, for an example, if I were to put that question to him, that he pulled out of it because of the rising costs through COVID and went back to the council to seek an increase. Now, you can go on and say on Facebook that that's not true, but I can't read out a statement that says that what he says was an untruth, because next thing you know, it gets sorted out in the High Court or wherever it might be. So I hope, I know the people listening to this show are very clever and understand that, but there are different rules that apply to the likes of this platform and what can be said compared to social media, as an example. Okay, we appreciate the cooperation of Siobhan Nguyen, Regional Manager with the Central Region at ESB Networks, in keeping us up to date in the wake of two storms now, Jocelyn and Isha. Siobhan with us again. Siobhan, thank you very much for your time. I know you're very busy. Appreciate it. Obviously, you know, there was an awful lot of premises, and you can multiply that in terms of people without power. Unfortunately, despite the best efforts, it's a huge undertaking, and there are still quite a few people without electricity.
There are, Greg, yes. So we've approximately 29,000 customers, businesses, farms and homes now without supply this morning. Roughly half of those premises were affected by Storm Jocelyn and the other half by Storm Isha. So we have restored about power to about 200,000 customers at this point, but the restoration effort now is continuing this morning.
I suppose one of the most significant outages is in the Mobile area. 1,600 people affected there. Work ongoing, I presume?
Yes, work ongoing, absolutely. So again, the worst affected areas continue to be the northwest and the west. So in Donegal, approximately about 5,000 customers out there at the moment. Work is continuing. We're into the difficult part of the repairs now at this stage. And we also need to do some damage assessment in the wake of Storm Jocelyn last night.
You know, if you look at the map, there's an awful lot of sort of the red triangles. You click into them, 10, 12, 20 customers. Is that where it starts getting more technical, more complicated? And maybe, you know, with the best will in the world, that people in those areas, some of them may have to manage their expectations as to when power will actually be returned?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Yes. So like the way we try and deal with it is we try and get as many customers back as quickly as possible. So at this stage now, after 2 days of restoration, we are getting into the faults that will only impact a small number of customers, but they can actually involve quite a lot of work. So we're dealing with quite a lot of timber on our lines and a lot of broken poles. So the effort gets more difficult now for the remaining customers that we have out.
And can you give any sort of rough time frame as when you might expect to have the majority, as much as is possible, back on the grid working?
Well, we're working to try and get as many back again tonight, but realistically, we are talking another couple of days, right, you know, in terms of restoring power to everybody.
Okay. And obviously, you would know, Siobhan, and finally, we would get contacts from special cases, you know, as I've mentioned in the past, people on medical equipment, and we talked about registering as a vulnerable customer, but we are where we are right now. The individual attention like that there is not necessarily possible, is it? That house could be, you know, 14 houses down a chain, I presume.
Yes, exactly. Yes. You know, and we do appreciate there's difficult cases out there, but it's difficult to, you know, to target those premises. So we are working to try and restore power to as many people as possible. But it will, you know, those customers could still be without power for a number of days. So they do need to make sure they've alternative arrangements in place.
Okay, Siobhan, thank you for your time. Siobhan Nguyen there. We're also joined on the programme by Brian Cannon, Director of Roads and Transportation with Donegal County Council. The cleanup is still ongoing from the first storm. There was concern what impact the second storm might have. Brian, I don't hear all the information, but it seemed to be there were a couple of instances, but not widespread problems last night, though you're the man that will know.
Good morning, Greg. Luckily enough, now we weren't overly impacted by Storm Jocelyn. We probably had somewhere in the region of a dozen trees down in different locations across the county. Many of them were dealt with yesterday evening, and then again, crews are back out again this morning dealing with others, and some are still ongoing. Still a few issues with some of utility poles or wires in some locations on roads. But as you heard from the ESB earlier, their crews are out and they're working hard and working on a priority basis. So they've done some fantastic work along with our crews to clear all of the work over the last number of days. But it's if a member of the public again comes upon a tree that may have come down overnight but hasn't been reported as yet, don't hesitate to contact the council and report that.
Does that apply also to trees that look precarious? Is the council interested in hearing from the public if a tree looks, you know, like it's that it could fall?
Absolutely. If a member of the public has a concern about a tree along the roadside, absolutely, let the council know about it. Also, if they're a local and they know the landowner, mention it to the landowner as well, because the landowner does have a liability in relation to trees on their property and that to check trees on their property, and that if something were to happen, they could be held liable if they were deemed negligent, that they were aware of a problem and hadn't addressed it.
All right. Okay. Listen, but hopefully now we get some respite. There's a lot of people out there. We'd imagine that all problems will be cleared pretty quickly, Brian. And as I say, hopefully now we get a break from this for a while.
Yeah, that's it. The clearing up of debris in some locations will continue. In some places, trees may have been set aside to allow the road to be open, but have to be returned to in order to get them completely removed. So there'll be a few days yet of work and clear up.
And finally, this isn't a serious question, so you can avoid it altogether. Who gets first dibs on all this firewood? Is it a perk of the job for the guys and girls out there chopping it up, or what's the story?
No, generally not. Every situation is different, Greg. Generally, we get assistance from landowners as well in relation to some bits of
machinery. They get it back.
Locations.
So, all right, okay. So there's no...
Our guys would rather be tucked up in their beds at night rather than out trying to deal with trees and all the hazards that present. But listen, good work for all the crews that have responded. And as you say, a bit of respite now and can hopefully relax this evening when we get home.
All right, take care of yourself. Thanks very much indeed. Brian Cannon, Director of Roads and Transportation with Donegal County Council. So if there's any further trees down that you see, obviously you can notify us and we'll get the information out to the public, but also notify the council. And that goes also too for trees or poles that you think, right, that's not the way they used to be and you fear they might come down. Right, so it's National Compliments Day. So we're inviting you out there to pass on your compliments to people in your life or to individuals or whatever. And we have got together a no expense spared lucky bag, a goodie bag from Highland Ready. We're going to throw a 9 till noon show mug in there, which is actually really quite limited edition, you know, because Caroline's broken most of them. We also have a lovely beanie hat for you and a nice shirt. Would you like that? All you have to do is to be in with a chance to collect that. All you have to do is pay someone a compliment. Have you ever had it as easy? Yes, we're all very shy out there, you know, too. Where are my WhatsApp voice messages? I want them. I sound like Nolan now looking for that interview. But anyway, Pamela has sent a message into us, a voice message. She's in the hat for this lovely prize. Let's see what Pamela has to say.
I want to compliment a great bunch of adult learners completing an ETB special needs assisting course. I'm their tutor and they've made my job a pleasure. They're Lumbani, Thomas, Kieran, Sebs, Aaron, Caroline, Hilary Ann, Mark, Amber, Kevin, Sarah Louise and Letty. And I wish them all the very best on their placement. And if I forgot anyone, I'm sorry. Oops, I forgot Precious. Best of luck.
Thank you, Pamela. How could you have forgotten Precious? Well, you remembered in the end. Okay, so that's from Pamela there. She's in the running. That's what we want. Isn't that lovely? A nice voice message in your own words, paying tribute or complimenting someone on this that is National Compliments Day. Donald came in at Donald came in as a handover for the 10 o'clock news, and he says to me, "You're looking well today." I looked at him as if to say, "What is going? Is this man losing his marbles? What's going? Why is he saying this?" And I have to think quite quick on my feet. I couldn't work out, why is Donald saying this to me? Do I look sick? Do you know when you look sick and someone says you look well and you think, what? So obviously I got all paranoid, and then the penny dropped and I was like, all right, still awkward. Thanks, Donal. But he knew exactly what he was doing. All right, so send in your voice WhatsApps paying a compliment to someone, and we'll put you in that for that Highland Radio goodie bag. Okay, we do have to take a very quick break. Our next guest is on the line.
Watch the show live now on YouTube, Facebook, and at highlandradio.com.
Nutrius XL Yo with Lamb and Nutrius Yo with Lamb Crunch are formulated to ensure a vigorous lamb and excellent milk yield. Avail of our lambing season offer. 25 kg bags, buy 10, get one free. And €15 off per tonne in bulk. Available at your local Homeland store. Visit nutrius.ie for full nutritional information.
Mora will to comporta keg Jane of Ruddy Erlina, Neil to Dainer. Clary course skillena digitica le the word educus agus eluna ochul. Takes all learn, seer in Ashke, he kuikate kuiga, on course seer in Ashke a I'm shewing ardich. Le takiok to realtus neheren, exalus agus egantentus orafok.
For day-to-day healthcare needs, generations have trusted the experienced staff at McGee's Chemist Letterkenny. From coughs and colds to aches and pains, from vitamin supplements to first aid essentials. McGee's have what you need, when you need it, with a full prescription service available daily. McGee's Chemist, Main Street, Letterkenny, for healthcare help and advice you can always trust.
Easy Living Furniture's biggest ever winter sale has been extended for a limited time only. This is your last chance to avail of these amazing discounts. Absolutely everything reduced across sofa, dining, bedroom, mattress and accessories. It's the furniture you want at amazing winter sale prices. Winter sale extended for a limited time at Easy Living Furniture, Crescent Link Retail Park.
If you need a new laptop, enjoy super fast performance and seamless multitasking with Avita laptops at Ben Sweeney Euronics. Avita laptops are equipped with advanced processors and ample RAM, so they handle everything from work to entertainment with ease. They come with a 2-year warranty and prices starting at only €449. For more details, pop in and see us at Ben Sweeney Euronics, Port Road, Letterkenny, or in the shopping centre, Dunloe.
The Lotto jackpot is an estimated €14.2 million. Play responsibly in store, in app, or at lottery.ie. The National Lottery. It could be you.
The 9 till noon show is brought to you by Letterkenny Credit Union. Digital loans now available. Apply online or via our app today and get your loan transferred directly to your current account.
Right, I'm told there is a road traffic incident at the Mountain Top in Letterkenny on the right lane towards Mountain Top. A trailer with machinery is involved there. Caution needed, down to one lane. No reports of any injuries, but if you're coming up that direction, please exercise caution. Right, okay, so we've been talking about the crews out and about. Tidying up the place, clearing trees, clearing poles and what have you. All highly trained and operate to the highest health and safety standards. But still, in these times, we have to be extra careful. And Pat Griffin, Senior Inspector for the Health and Safety Authority, is going to remind us of that. Good morning, Pat.
Morning, Greg.
Right, so an awful lot of people, you know, have chainsaws and other equipment in their own house and they're dealing with these problems, and it might not necessarily be the council or the ESB or AIR or whomever it might be involved. You're just reminding people to be extra, extra careful.
Yeah, we do get concerned when we see storms coming through, because it's really in the cleanup operations afterwards that we see most of the serious injuries, and sadly we see some deaths with people cleaning up after storms. So we'd really like to encourage everyone to leave it to the professionals if at all possible. You know, they are well trained. All local authorities have very well trained operatives. They have the proper equipment, proper training, proper competence, and they'll do the job properly. And the first thing they'll do is do a risk assessment on what they're approaching. they won't jump in. A lot of untrained people will jump straight in and start to clear without doing the risk assessment. When these trained people look at a job they need to do, they stand back, they look around, they look for other hazards. Like hung up branches above a fallen tree, if you go in to try to chop up that tree, you never know when that branch is going to come down. You know, so we would encourage them to leave it to professionals and really only use your chainsaw if you're competent to use it and you know what you're doing.
Yeah, and chainsaws, we know, like night follows day, we do know when their usage increases or their usage at all, a certain amount of injuries and serious harm is reported and having to be dealt with in RADs.
Every year we see over 120 very serious injuries with chainsaws, and actually they lead to about 4% of farm workplace deaths. So people that are not used to using the chainsaw, you know, day in, day out, can easily make a mistake. You know, a chainsaw needs to be well maintained. It needs to be in good condition. All the safety features need to be on it. And then the operators need to have all the PPE right from head to toe. Like, I mean, there's specialized helmets with visors and earmuffs. There's specialized gloves and specialized trousers in case you hit your leg with a chainsaw that the material will not let the blade go through. And there's specialized boots. So many, many people that have a chainsaw in the shed and something happens and they need to use it, they often don't have the PPE and they often don't do proper risk assessments. And that leads to a lot of these serious injuries. And they are dreadful, dreadful injuries when a chainsaw cuts into you.
I had one bounce back on me. It never touched me, but my word, it changed my attitude towards chainsaw use in the past. And the thing is now too, Pat, I think more people have access to them. You know, like there's always been groups of individuals that need chainsaws, but now you find them in the middle aisles and other places as well. So we're not just necessarily talking now to maybe, you know, people in the agriculture business, for an example.
Yeah, an awful lot of people have picked up a cheap chainsaw, often not of great quality, some not having the safety features that are needed. And we'd encourage people, you know, they need to get training. If they're going to use a chainsaw at all, they need to get training. And, you know, it's fairly extensive training to be a good chainsaw operator. I mean, the basic training package is 5 days. Mm. There are shorter courses, two-day training courses, which will just train you how to maintain the chainsaw and maybe cut up timber for firewood. But the use of a chainsaw is very specialized. And when we see storms running through like that, we all know that there's going to be trees that are, you know, windblown trees that are in tension, that they're not fully broken, or branches that are badly damaged but not fully broken. Even an experienced chainsaw operator would prefer not to have to deal with windblown trees. These are called widow makers, and they're called that for obvious reasons. There's tension within the tree, and when you go to cut it, it can spring and release that tension, and it can cause very, very serious injuries and fatalities. So
yeah, for sure.
If you have a windblown tree, you know, get the experts in to deal with it. You can't turn back the clock when you go at these things and something happens. You know, it's too late then.
Yeah, and finally,
we're trying to encourage people.
Of course,
to use
in a lot of activities, yeah, the less you do them, the less likely you are to come a cropper. But unfortunately, with something like, which is highly skilled, the use of a chainsaw, people tend to use them infrequently and haven't done any updater courses or what have you. You know, so it's one of those activities. The less you do, the more danger potentially you're in.
Absolutely. If a chainsaw is sitting in the shed for the last year and you haven't used it, it's certainly not in any good condition to use it in the first place. You really need to get it out, sharpen it, put certain oils in it. And a sharpened chainsaw is far safer than a blunt one. Mm. So, you know, we are encouraging people, you know, not to take on things that could cause them injuries. You can't turn back the clock. Try to assess what you're doing. Make sure that you don't put yourself at risk. You know, professionals will come in and look at it and they'll decide that there has to be an exclusion zone here, that people can't enter this area. They look for fallen cables. They look for hung up branches that could come down at any moment. You know, untrained people will go in straight in and start working. And next thing, branches start falling down around them and can cause very serious injuries and fatalities. So we are concerned.
Yeah.
We've seen images in papers where farmers using chainsaws with no PPE, or people around cleaning up after storms with no PP. You know, that's a recipe for disaster.
Okay, Pat, good advice. Thank you. Pat Griffin, Senior Inspector for the Health and Safety Authority. On to some more of your comments here. I live in Ballybuffet. We've had no water or electricity for a few days. I want to hugely thank all the people involved in returning all those services to our homes, which I have taken for granted. Hi, Greg. I live in Listillion in Letterkenny. Our water went off on Monday morning, 10 a.m, came back 2 p.m. yesterday and was off this morning again. Thankfully, it's back on the last half hour or so. Fingers crossed indeed. Yes, correct. It's called the ARP programme. This payment is paid directly from the government to the landlord on behalf of the Ukrainian refugee tax frame. The Ukrainian refugee can top up this payment. However, that payment is then taxed at the normal rate of 52%, unlike the €800 payment, which is tax-free. However, it must be added, says this listener, that this payment presents substantially less cost to the exchequer than if this refugee, refugee couple or refugee family were accommodated in a hotel setting, etc. Okay, thank you very much for that. Right, hi Greg. Just let the listeners know that I think you can claim compensation from your electricity company provider if you're left without power for more than 24 hours. I'm not contradicting you because I would never do that because often people know way more than I do. I think, though, there are certain circumstances, are there not, that might not be a runner. And I don't know what the ESB could do better than they're doing now in that situation. But look, it's certainly something maybe perhaps worth digging into. Ishka Aaron continues to provide detailed real-time and local information about water service and supply issues on water.ie. The Ishka Aaron customer care helpline is open 24/7, 1-800-278-278, and updates are also issued via Facebook and X at IW_care. Hashtag IW Donegal is useful there as well if you're on X. That must be in the place of an interview that they didn't want to give us. Okay. Right, I'll tell you, I have Sean McCluskey, who I'm going to go to after a very quick break. Because if I take this break, it means then we can chat up to 11. So I'll be back with Sean in a couple of minutes. Okay, so it is the calm after the storms now. Wednesday, a much quieter day overall, with moderate to fresh westerly, soon decreasing light to moderate southwesterly. Mostly dry with a mix of cloud and sunny spells, though. However, well, scattered showers will develop, highest temperatures of 8 to 9 degrees. Now, I often say to you, you know, this is your programme, this is your platform, and we... welcome any contributions or what have you. I think that's how Sean, I'm speaking to you. I think you sent me a message on Facebook. And now we've set this interview up, and that's how it's gone, isn't it?
That's how it went, Greg. Yeah.
Brilliant. Exactly. So that's just that's how we work. So that's great. Right. Sean McCluskey is joining us to talk about and to raise awareness of Addison's disease. Addison's disease, is it very rare, Sean, or how rare is it?
Addison's disease is an extremely rare condition. There's only two people in the county of Donegal that I know of that has it, and I think there's only about 50 in the whole country that has it.
But you're walking around, and we'll get to your story, but you've walked around with it for 20 years not knowing that you had it, if I'm correct. So the numbers could be quite greater than we know.
That's exactly it. Only for I decided to get a second opinion, I wouldn't have known that I had it. All started off with, I was diagnosed with ulcerative colitis. I was on extremely high doses of steroids. When I started to taper off the steroids, they noticed that my symptoms were starting to come back. Mm-hmm. So they done a scope, and my bowel was clear. So they thought, right, and I said, look, I'm not happy. I need a second opinion. And that's when they decided that they would investigate into it a bit further. They've done a couple of tests, a test called the ACTH test, which is a hormone test or a cortisol test. They've done that, and it came back that my steroid or the cortisol levels was low in my blood, and that's when they discovered that I had it. So did I have colitis at all? I don't know, but only for, you know, we decided to get a second opinion. I probably wouldn't have known that I had it at all.
So you would probably have your suspicions that people are being diagnosed with colitis or other conditions, and it may well be Addison's. Now, I'm not trying to amplify the amount of cases, but presumably given your journey and your stubbornness and getting a second opinion, that's a thought that's bound to cross your mind, is it?
Oh, it is, yeah. Like, and I would advise anybody out there that's on long courses of steroids, I'm not saying the doctors don't know what they're doing. They're top class, don't get me wrong. But at the end of the day, it's your body. You know what's going on, and I'll advise anybody to get a second opinion if you're not happy.
And would you say one of the key signs is how your condition is versus the level of steroids you're taking? Because it seems your symptoms, less steroids, more symptoms, more steroids, less symptoms. Was that one of the key indicators for you?
When I started off being diagnosed with colitis, I was on, I think, 60 to 80 milligrams of steroids a day. And then when I started to taper off them, then if I went below 20 milligrams of steroids, my symptoms came back with a vengeance. And they came back like I was hospitalized more times. And then only for, as you said, stubbornness, only for it, I wouldn't have had, I thought to myself, no, I'm going to go for a second opinion here.
Yeah.
And then now I'm on a baseline level of steroid all the time, and my symptoms have sort of held at bay. But if I don't, I'm steroid dependent for the rest of my life.
And what is, does that create its own issues in taking steroids so consistently long term, Sean?
It does indeed, because number one, steroids can cause osteoporosis.
Right.
Long term doses of steroids. excuse me. If I don't take my steroids at a certain time, if I take my steroids at 9 a.m, if I take them any later than that, I'm just no good for the rest of the day. Extreme fatigue, moody, chronic diarrhea. I'm just not fit for anything. And then if I take them too late in the evening, I don't sleep at night.
Wow. Okay. I'm very interested in the 20 years that you suspect you may have had this. Was it difficult for you? Did you lack energy, or what was your life like that led you to believe that you may have had Addison's for 2 decades?
It was horrible, Greg. I'd been quite through with it.
And do you mind me asking from what age that was? Because I have no idea.
18.
Right, okay. So from 18 on, talk to us about how you were feeling and how you've believed this affected your life.
I came home from America with my dad, myself, my father went on holidays. We came home from America. We were at a family function, and I was violently sick. And I knew it wasn't alcohol because I'm not a big drinker. So I went home and my GP said, look, I'm going to send you in. He sent me to the hospital. They'd done the tests and they said that my bowel was a bit of inflammation in my bowel. But I didn't realise when I was in America that I wasn't supposed to drink the tap water. So they put it down to that. And they just kept throwing steroids and steroids and steroids at me. At the time, there was no gastroenterologist in Letterkenny Hospital. And then there was a new gastro came in, and he sort of done all the tests and all that, and it was him. But like I couldn't, before I would travel anywhere, I couldn't take my breakfast. I couldn't. I was because I had to run to the toilet constantly. I was sleeping. I would have slept 14, 15 hours a day. I was just so moody. It doesn't matter how many hours sleep I got, I had constant bags under my eyes. My bones were just, my joints were sore. Only certain, for 20 years, my diet consisted of pasta, rice, and fish.
That was just what got you through. What about, is Addison's affected then by external stuff in your life? You know, you talked about traveling, or if you get bad news, or if work is stressful, or if one of the kids is sick. Like, do those life events affect your condition?
They do, yes. Stress is a massive factor in it. Was it last September, October, I was cutting a bit of wood for my father out the back. My finger got caught in the saw and cut the finger. I'm used to dealing with blood, it's fine. Went inside, passed out. My mother and that had to call an ambulance. Busted my head on the stove. I got 15 stitches in my head. I got something like 50 stitches in my finger, and I spent 2 days in intensive care, all because of the Addison's. Shock and trauma is a huge, huge factor. I have to carry an emergency kit with me with steroids at all times.
Wow.
I wear a medical alert bracelet at all times. and have emergency contacts on my phone at all times.
So is there, I mean, obviously when diseases are very rare, it makes you wonder then too what effort is going on in terms of research or alternative remedies or cures or whatever it might be. Like, is there any alternative to steroids? Is anything being looked at? Like, is this genetic? Is this an imbalance in your system? Like, what do we understand about Addison's?
There's not that much known about it. Now, I've done a bit of research. Now, my consultant in Letterkenny is very, very invested in us. He's constantly doing research. Mm. I have to say he's brilliant. It is hereditary because after I was diagnosed, I had a cousin that kept passing out.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't figure out what was wrong with her. Give her steroids and it has cleared up.
Okay.
So it seems to be genetic, but as you know, years ago there wasn't that much research into things and Google wasn't going as much years ago. I'd be one of these people that if I cut my finger, I know I shouldn't do it, I'll Google everything.
Yeah, well, we all do that, but I know what you're saying, all right, yeah.
Yeah, research everything, you know, and I'd be one of these people that want answers and want answers now.
Yeah, okay.
And only, you know, only for it. It possibly saved my life.
So what, in the last 2 minutes, what do you want, what's important for people to know or to get out there?
I'll tell you just a quick story. Was my partner's from Offaly. I was heading down to Offaly the first time. I took my tablets on the train, got off the train, and I was stopped by a detective.
Mm-hmm.
He said to me, he says, you were taking drugs on the train. And I says, no, I wasn't. Explained the situation. And he says, okay, that was fair enough. What I want to do is, a couple of things, is raise awareness, is if you're anyway in doubt, yeah, the doctors have got all their paperwork done and they've got all, and fair play, but there's only one expert in your body and that's you.
Yeah.
Always go for a second opinion if you're not happy. And just because somebody doesn't look sick, doesn't mean that they
are. That's what I was going to say to you, Sean. I suppose some of it's you want to be seen as well. Do you know what I mean? Because, you know, if you're in a wheelchair or something, people might recognise that. But, I mean, you know, you probably have to explain an awful lot about your condition so people understand that maybe decisions you're making or how you're on or if you're a bit edgy
whatever. Not all disabilities is visible.
All right. Sean, it's been really interesting talking to you. I really do appreciate your time to give us a better understanding of it. And, you know, I have a feeling there will be people contacting us saying this resonates with me. You know, this is...
Well, Greg, my number, use of my number there. Like, yeah. If anybody wants to get in contact, I'm not saying I'm an expert, but I know, you know, a bit more than most. If anybody wants to get in contact with me, they're more than welcome. And I want to thank you for bringing awareness to it on the show. And just again, if you're not happy, please get a second.
Trust your gut. And come here, stay in touch with us with annual days or whatever, Sean. It's important that we help in any way we can. Thank you so much. Sean McCloskey there, who has Addison's disease. One of only two people apparently in the county that has it, but he suspects that maybe more have it and perhaps don't realise.